At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This podcast was brought to you by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
I'm Dylan.
I don't know why we're starting off the podcast like that.
We are not. You are. This week, we're talking about the best white cards in all of CEDH. We're going to talk about each and every one that's even remotely good. Well, not really. We're going to be talking about like probably the 13 to maybe 15 best white cards in CEDH. We're going to rank them against each other, talking about the pros and cons. White's got a lot of juice in the past couple years, so I think there's going to be a lot of new cards on this list.
There's not going to be a lot of old borders that we'll see in this list here.
Unfortunately, the few really good old white cards are too good, like Balance. That one's not even allowed in the format.
Yeah, you can't even play them. All right, so our first card is Smothering Tithe. This is 3 and a white for an enchantment that says whenever an opponent draws a card, that player may pay 2. If that player doesn't, you create a treasure token.
Smothering Tithe has been around for a while, but I think recently it's gotten a lot more stronger. With the super reliant on draw engines, Smothering Tithe makes you a lot of mana a lot quicker. The best part about it is that it replaces itself on mana within a turn cycle, but the worst part about it is a 4 mana do nothing. The turn that you cast it, that's not doing anything, and people have to be in a situation where they're not going to pay. Now, most of the time, they're not going to pay, but if you jam this super late game when everyone has deployed a lot of mana, there are chances are that this is not going to do anything in the late game. I've liked it a lot more recently because I've been playing Atraxa recently, and I think it's great in Atraxa because it helps you get to Atraxa quickly, and it's just like a big juicy spell for Atraxa to help pull ahead, but it's definitely not right for every CDH deck.
It's a really good advantage engine if you have a very intensive mana commander in your command zone.
A mana intensive.
What did I say?
Intensive mana, which sounds a little bit like, I don't know, different for some reason.
I'm really upset about my mana.
Yeah. Any commander that where the commander needs a lot of mana to cast it, or just the deck itself is like a bigger mana deck.
Or if your commander's a mana sink is the other thought I was trying to have.
A Thrasios deck can really use. Yeah, Kenrith, something like that. Those can really use Smothering Tithe well. But I don't know if I love Smothering Tithe in like the blue farm side of things. I'm sure if you put a Smothering Tithe in your blue farm deck, it's going to be good and helpful. It's not normally where I lean into it the most. I want something that can really utilize those extra treasures.
I do like this if I'm playing a lot of wheels. Like, I start to look at it little bit more, but it's not to the same level as a wheel payoff that I would say, like, Narset Parter avails is. Like, I don't necessarily want to play more wheels because I'm playing Smothering Tithe, but I might want to play Smothering Tithe if I'm playing a lot of wheels.
Definitely, yeah. I think if you're leaning into the wheel stuff, some Timna Mad Farm type list where you're playing Wheel of Fortunes anyway, but you still kind of want to be able to grind sometimes, I don't mind it there, definitely.
I feel like it thrives in those kind of decks where you're a little bit lower on colors, like you're 2 to 3 colors, but you have a commander like Timna, so you are able to draw a bunch. You just need a little bit of extra mana to be able to get all the spells out of your hands. So.
Yeah, definitely. Overall, in CDH, I give this Smothering Tithe like a 4. It's a very powerful card for sure, but it definitely doesn't go in every deck. Out of all the white cards we talked about so far, which is just this one, it's the best, but I don't think it's going to stay at top of the list
for
very long.
Joke.
Every time.
No, I don't think it's going to stay at the top of the list either. I think this would also be a 4 if we decided to go about that kind of rating system.
Yeah, it's a 4.
It's definitely a 4.
It goes in most decks, not all decks. It's not a white auto-include, but I'm thinking about it. If I'm playing white, I'll definitely think about it.
I will say, though, like, even in Kenrith, I consider cutting it. Because, like, it is good, but it also, like we've said, is a do-nothing spell. So, like, you are taking off a turn. And a lot of times, if players are able to identify windows, like, you can't give a player a window and then have another player give someone else a window in the same turn. Because that's when people take advantage of it and win the game. So, like, you have to be a little bit cautious about when you run this out. Is what I'm saying making sense?
Yeah, definitely. You can't just tap out when knowing that someone's about to win the game on it. I feel like you have to, even though you might make the treasures to hold up some interaction, there's going to be times where you're going to have to protect yourself first. Once you're in an even situation or maybe a little bit ahead, that's when Smothering Tithe gets really good. Or obviously, if you can turbo it out and get it out in turn one or something.
Yeah. Now, it's also really good, though, I think, if you have a lot of really powerful, like, cheap interaction in your hand, though, too. Like, if you have Flusterstorm in your hand, you just go, come on, buddy, I just played this, give me one treasure, then all of a sudden you feel a lot safer in those kind of situations. But when you're trying to judge a card in a vacuum, like those kind of situations, I don't always want to consider because you don't always have the one mana interaction.
Yeah, yeah, that definitely makes sense.
Well, I have nothing else to say about Smothering Tithe. Let's just move on. Let's talk about Ranger Captain of Eos. This is one, a white and a white for a 3/3 human soldier. When it enters the battlefield, you can search your library for a creature with converted mana cost one or less, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. And you can also sacrifice it so that your opponents can't cast non-creature spells this turn.
I think there's a good argument that Ranger Captain of Eos is like the best white card in CDH. It does so much. The fact that it draws you a card, essentially, by finding you an Esper Sentinel, and the card that it draws you more cards. Like, that's exactly what white needs. It can also get you Birds of Paradise or Deathrite Shaman or Mana Interaction, Sylvan Safekeeper, anything like that. Esper Sentinel is normally the go-to.
It can get you combo pieces like Walking Ballista as too, which is sweet.
The main fact that you can cast it, tap out for it, and then threaten to stop somebody else from finishing their win. And then if it gets back to you, you can use it to also protect yourself. It goes both ways.
It goes both ways. I was here yesterday.
Yeah. I think it's the best white card in CDH, honestly. We'd have to go through the rest of the list for me to for sure know that. It's definitely better than Smothering Tithe, and I for sure give it at least a 5 out of 5.
I should have saved this one for later, but it was the first card that I put on the list because when I think of white cards and the best white cards in CEDH, this is the first one that I think of. It's just because it does literally everything that you need it to do in CEDH. You feel so fucking safe when it's in play all the time. It's definitely a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I mean, even the Grixis deck that splashes white for it, which is, I mean, I guess Blue Farm, yeah. You could argue that Blue Farm is an Esper deck that's splashing red, but at least at the beginning, it was a Grixis deck that was splashing white, and then you're playing a double white pip card in that splash just because of how powerful it is. I mean, we're playing with very powerful mana bases, so who cares about the splash? But double white pips is a concern, and even still, it's still such a strong card.
Yeah, there's only 3 cards that you will get blown out with still, and that's Odawara, Baseju, and Endurance. So the only 3 cards that you'll see that will come up that will still mess you up. But otherwise, this card's going to get you out of every single jam.
Yep, Solitude maybe, but no one plays Solitude except for
me. Yeah, you're the only person that plays Solitude.
Like, you should play Solitude. Free interaction's really good. But yeah, Ranger Captain's incredible. It was the juice that gave white what it's needed to make it more of a playable color in CDH, I think. It's the main pull.
Definitely going at the top of our list right now, 100%. The next card we're going to talk about, we might as well talk about Esper Sentinel next since it's stapled on to the last card we just talked about. This is a 1-mana artifact. It costs 1 white for a 1/1. Creature Human Soldier. Whenever an opponent casts their first non-creature spell each turn, draw a card unless that player pays X, where X is Esper Sentinel's power.
Yeah, I would argue this one is probably, I'm not sure again, but for me, this is probably the number 2 card in all of white. Esper Sentinel being a little mini Mystic Remora that can sometimes draw you 2-3 cards a turn cycle. Oftentimes people should be paying for it because it's just the first one, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes they can. Sometimes they've mulliganed and they need to get the Mana Crypt out. Esper Sentinel is super strong. It's just the juice that white needed to give it just enough card draw to really bring it in. You can play it early on. You can play it mid game. It's still really good. Then it being an artifact is kind of nice if you're in a Mox Opal deck. I always love that. Kind of bad that it feeds Dockside Extortionist, but it's very versatile. You can find it off of Artifact Tutors and Creature Tutors. We all know that Esper Sentinel is incredible, but I think it's just under Ranger Captain. What Ranger Captain does is just so much bigger. Esper Sentinel is harder to notice, but when a 1-mana card can draw you like 5 cards in a game, it's really fucking good.
It's hard not to put Ranger Captain of Eos over Esper Sentinel when Ranger Captain just has Esper Sentinel on it all the time. Right,
yeah.
Like, it's an Esper Sentinel that also has a silence and a 3/3 body attached to it.
Right, yeah. Ranger Captain is just almost strictly better. I mean, because it comes with the Esper Sentinel, like you said. So
does that mean we can give Esper Sentinel a 5 still? Or do we have to give it a 4.9?
No, I think it's still a 5. Even though, like, yes, Ranger Captain is technically better. I still think they both fit the category of five for me, which is a staple of its color. And for white decks, I don't know that there is a white deck that I would not play both of these cards in. Is there?
No, because even our next card, Grand Abolisher, there are five color white decks that won't play Grand Abolisher that will play Ranger Captain Veos, which I think is telling. Grand Abolisher is two white for a 2/2 creature human cleric that says during your turn, your opponents can't cast spells or activate abilities of artifacts, creatures, or enchantments.
I think my favorite part about Grand Abolisher is that it's a static ability. It's not an activation like the Ranger Captain.
Yes,
the Ranger Captain, they can respond to the Ranger Captain activation. Say,
and
okay,
still do
I'll
shit.
I'll Lightning Bolt your whatever, something else, make it a little bit more difficult for you. But if you Eldritch Evolution and the Eldritch Resolves and they think you're getting a Dockside and you get a Grand Abolisher. I mean, that's some of my favorite shit to do with this card is sneak it out somehow with a tutor, a green tutor specifically that puts it right into play. It is a little bit still less than Ranger Captain because Ranger Captain stops your opponents also. Grand Abolisher doesn't do shit for your opponents. You can't really jam it early. Like, it's not a great turn two play. Just, like, slam it down past the turn.
No, if anything, you get a lot of targets.
You're gonna get targeted. They're gonna try to kill it for no reason. They're gonna go out of their way to kill it because they're afraid you're gonna win in the following turn.
Yeah, they're going to throw away Bowmaster triggers on it and
exactly.
then like lose the game to something else.
Whereas like in casual, I think you are much more safe to jam this card early and just like say the rest of your things are going to be uncounterable. In CDH, it's going to be way too threatening. People are going to go out of their way to target like we just said. So it's kind of more of like you have to play it like on turn 5 or 6 when you're ready to win the game or like tutor for it in some other way. But it's still a very powerful card. It stops everything besides the land, the channel lands, the channel stuff,
yeah.
Everything else. So just a little bit more than Ranger Captain of Eos. Very powerful card, but number 3 so far, I think. Worse than Esper Sentinel.
I also agree that it's worse than Esper Sentinel, but better than Smothering Tithe to put it at the number 3 slot.
The double white pips is a little tricky on 2 mana.
That's really what hurts it the most, I think.
One more thing that I want to bring up with this card is Caverner Souls. Caverner Souls is a card that has been recently played a little bit more with Grand Abolisher because you can name human, which can also cast some of your other powerful humans like Dranith Magistrate or I don't know, whatever else, but an uncounterable Grand Abolisher is pretty much as protected of a win as you can get. And in CDH, those are the most powerful things. This is a very protected win in a lot of decks. I know Blue Farm can play that from time to time. So Grand Abolisher is still super strong, goes in most white decks, but I think just under Ranger Captain and Esper Sentinel.
I agree. I'm going to give it a 4.5.
4.5 sounds great.
The next card we're going to talk about then is Silence. We're just going to round out the your opponents can't do shit package.
Which is the best thing that white does. This is its best ability in CDH.
This is why you play white.
This is why you play white. This is what it's good for.
100%. Starting off with some huge heavy hitters. Silence is one white for an instant that says your opponents can't cast spells this turn.
This is the OG. This is what all the new good cards are based off of. I still think this one is really fucking good. I don't know. It's hard to rate them amongst them because this to me is a 5. I'm playing this in every white deck. Absolutely. I would not say the same for Grand Abolisher, so I think it's better than that. It's hard to rate it against something like Esper Sentinel. I think Silence is a little bit stronger. It's like on the turns that you need it, Silence is much better than the Esper Sentinel is. The Esper Sentinel can also backfire. You must draw that card. So if you have a Thassa's Oracle on the stack, someone casts a spell and they don't pay for it, that's a stinker. You'll die.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You know
just
what
like
I mean?
Play Diabolic Intent in your deck.
Right.
And like
yeah,
use
but
that
then
as a way
to
get around
you have to find
that.
The Diabolic. Like, of course, there's a ton
guess,
of ways,
yeah.
But there just is a downside. Silence, its only downside is as a interactive spell with your opponents, it's not always great, but the fact that sometimes it's great, I think is a plus. Because all you really want this for is to protect your stuff, and then if it can sometimes like stop a player who like casts Underworld Breach and you silence them in response, that can be really, really powerful. So I like Silence a lot. I think it's probably the second best white card. I think it might be better than Esper Sentinel.
A lot of times what it does is just draw out removal spells, which either is great or your opponents just have too much and you still lose the game. So, I don't know. I was thinking that it was underneath Esper Sentinel, just because the power of Esper Sentinel in the early game is absolutely just, it's so phenomenal. Like, there's a reason why it's compared to Mystic Remora. It makes people play the game entirely differently, where, yeah, Silence kind of does and does give you outlets to win the game, but, like, Esper Sentinel has, like, also been setting you up to win the game for 6 turns and just drawing you a ton of cards.
Yeah, I get that. It's hard to compare them. They play very different roles.
Yeah.
Like you said, Esper Sentinel's early game, Silence's late game. The early game is very important in CDH. Those are the turns that matter. So I could definitely see an argument for that. I will fold. Silence is the third best white card in CDH.
Well, I was going to say we could just give them a tie and we can put them at the same spot.
No, that's
spot.
Lame. I want to choose. You Esper sounds choose? Better.
All right,
I want to see Esper in my opening hand more often than I want to see Silence, so
that's
I'll give it
true.
To Esper.
I think that's definitely true, yeah. Then we're going to talk about Drenith Magistrate next.
Oh, man. We have a lot of good white cards.
There's a lot of good white cards,
honestly,
yeah.
This one's another 5 out of 5. I think everyone except for, I guess Grandabosher was a 4.5, Smothering Tithe was a 4, but this is another 5 out of 5
this
for me.
This is another 5 out of 5. This is 1 and a white for a 1/3 creature human wizards. Your opponents can't cast spells from anywhere other than your hands. And boy, howdy, you would be surprised at how many cards want you to play cards from outside of your hand.
Yeah, this is the only stacks piece that non-stacks decks will almost always play just because it's so insanely good. Especially like if you're going first, if you can get it out before the Kinnan, if you can get it out before the Timna or the Thrasios or these early commanders that are much more powerful than even the ones that I mentioned, it can be bonkers. And the fact that it also stops Underworld Breach, a very common win condition, is super powerful. It just like it stops what the format is. It stops commanders and Underworld Breach. It stops all that shit. And on a 1/3 body that you can block pretty effectively on a lot of things, get in for damage pretty effectively with your Timna. It's really good.
It's like the perfect commander card, I think. Like, it's exactly what you want to stop all these players who are trying to get so much disgusting value out of their command zone and then trying to clone their commanders to get even more disgusting value. You just shut it all off with the Drenith Magistrate.
It's another one that I desperately want to see in my opening hand, specifically if I have a rock. If I can get it out on turn one.
You got like a Chrome Rocks?
It's a world of difference. Do you want to say that again?
Is it a Chrome Rocks?
A Chrome Rocks.
I don't want to say it again.
If you can get it out early, it can be lights out. The issue is sometimes you're not going to want to play it. If you're going second after a Kinnan and the Kinnan comes out first and then you just slow the other two decks down, the Kinnan deck is going to start to take over. I know this from personal experience. There are other commanders in situations like that where if you're going third or fourth and somebody else gets their commander out before you play the Drenith and you just lock the other players out from playing their commander, it's going to be a tricky game. So
I call that the Trinisphere problem.
Exactly.
It's just something that you have to look out for as a stacks player is when you're going to give the game to someone else because of how you sequence your stacks pieces. And I do agree, like, you can't just throw this out every single game on your turn one just because you have it on your turn one. If someone else got out something else, like even Magda, like you can't fuck with that. Then
there can be situations where you use your removal to kill the Kinnan on end step, untap, and then play Drenith Magistrate, and I think doing something like that later on in the game will be much more powerful than just jamming it and giving the opponent to someone. So it's not always great, like Esper Sentinel or Ranger Captain. I feel like those cards are always great. I will always want to play them, whether I'm ahead, whether I'm behind, whether I'm at the same level as my opponents, they're always good. Drenith, if you're behind, not so great. I think it's similar to Silence. I think it's still a 5 out of 5.
Yeah,
I think it's as powerful as Silence, but only sometimes.
There is something to be said for its combo potential with things like Possibility Storm, where you completely negate your opponents from being able to cast spells anymore.
Yeah, that is very true. I think that, does that make it a little bit better than Silence, maybe? The fact that it can also double as like a win condition, kind of, against the right deck?
I would still put it as our number 4 card for right now.
Less than Silence.
Less than Silence, only because Silence does an active job at helping you win the game.
Yeah.
And Drenith Magistrate doesn't necessarily do that. Like, it doesn't.
True. Besides the Possibility Storm, which
besides
is kind of.
Besides the Possibility
of, right?
Storm, but, yeah. But, like, if you're behind on board, like, right, you have to be in the right position to be able to do that before you can just opt for it.
So it's better than Grand Abolisher, though.
I think it's better than Grand Abolisher because it is still a 5 out of 5. So that will push Grand Abolisher down to number 5. I think Silence is just a little bit better because of it being meaningful on the stack interaction that you can hide from opponents.
That's true. It's kind of interesting. Esper said Sentinel is better than Silence because Esper Sentinel is better early game, which Drenith Magistrate is also better early game. It's not as better in the early mid game. It's still good in the early game, but in that early mid game where Esper Sentinel is still good, Drenith is not good. I think I agree with you. Drenith is number 4 for sure.
Yeah, I think what Esper Sentinel does in the early game is also strictly more powerful than what Drenith Magistrate is doing.
Yeah, it helps you win the game. It gives you resources. In CDH, it's better to push yourself ahead than put your opponents behind.
For a smaller mana value, all that kind of good shit.
You can find it with Ranger Captain.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't do that with Drenith.
Can't do that with Drenith, yeah. All right, cool. We're going to talk about a couple of removal spells next, but we're going to talk about them one at a time. And we're going to start off with the classic, the original Swords to Plowshares.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that right now might say Path to Exile is better. I still don't know if that's true, but
we're going to nail it down today.
What does Swords to Plowshares do?
Swords to Plowshares is one white. It says exile target creature. Its controller gains life equal to its power.
The most efficient rate, just for one mana, get rid of any creature that's super powerful. There's going to be moments you want it to be a disenchant so bad, you want to get rid of a Rhystic Study or a Food Chain or something like that. But for what it does, at the rate that it does it and the downside that it offers, it's unmatched. The life gain is almost never going to matter. Like, yes, okay, Ad Nauseam and Nekroshore, it's not going to be relevant. It's just, I don't think it's not nearly as relevant as the downside of Path to Exile. We're going to talk about Path to Exile in a second, but we'll breeze through it because Path to Exile finding the land, yes, there are going to be situations where they don't find the land, but when they do find the land, it's so bad. And Path to Exile sucks at killing Kinnan because Kinnan plays land.
Yes.
And for that reason, Swords to Plowshares is a little bit better, I think. Just the life gain's never going to matter.
The less that you're in tournaments too, by the way, the more Path to Exile is going to get lands.
Yes.
I think that's also super relevant. So depending on where you're playing, you can hear people say, Path to Exile is really good because I only played against 5 color decks all day. But then you go to like your LGS and people are actually playing like Ob fucking Nyxalis and decks like that. And like you're seeing decks that play 4s, like 4 basic lands, very consistently. So
right. Yeah, exactly. And Swords to Plowshares, just the versatility, just being able to kill any creature. We already mentioned that. It's a very powerful card, but I don't know that it's the most powerful white card for sure. It is a 5 out of 5 for me, and I do include it in most, if not all, CDH decks that are white. Are there any CDH decks that aren't really looking to play this?
Honestly, no. And the only decks that do remove it now are decks that don't think they want the extra creature removal spell and think that Path to Exile is a little bit better for what they need. But again, I think that is all just kind of dependent on where you're playing and who you're playing against consistently. Is it better than Dranith Magistrate? I think that's where it is. I think it's between...
I know it's better than Grand Abolisher.
It's better than Grand Abolisher because it's still a 5. I think it's worse than Silence, and I'm...
I think it's worse than Silence.
Silence, like, Swords to Plowshares does help you win the game, and it kind of, like, helps you stay alive, but...
Swords to Plowshares helps you not die. Silence helps you win. That's a kind of a difference.
What's more important, not dying or winning?
Winning is more important.
So that's why Silence is better.
I think that's why Silence is better. Realistically, they're even. Truly, I think my real opinion is that they are the same power level, but if I had to draft and I had to pick either Silence or Swords to Plowshares, I'm going to take the Silence first.
What format are we drafting?
Like CDH. We're talking about CDH.
I would take Silence first.
If you have to pick and somebody else gets the other one, I'm going to choose the Silence.
I want to draft CEDH.
Dude, that'd be fun, right?
I want to draft CEDH.
Like open draft CEDH.
But I want my stipulation to be I don't choose my commanders until after the draft.
Oh, you like, draft them separately.
Like your basic lands, you're trying to figure out what colors you're in based on what you're drafting. I wouldn't want to like have to find Timnacrom in the draft. Like I would want to be able to go, oh, I can play Timnacrom because I found all the mana fixing for it.
Oh, okay. I feel like drafting the commander has to be part of it. Like that has to be part of the downside.
See, that's why I'm not into commander draft.
You don't want to play shitty commanders.
I don't want to play bad commanders. Like part of it would be I'm trying to do CEDH, so I want to make sure that we're playing CEDH commanders.
I think that maybe after you draft the 99, there's a second draft of all CEDH commanders and you draft those.
See, I think that's going to give you a color pie problem. Because you're going to get stuck with one player as Timna and then someone else has the other fucking Orzhov partner because you can't double up on having partners.
Depending how many people are drafting, I feel like you're just going to take Najeela and then you'll take Kenrith and then they'll take all like the 5 color ones.
Well, you can take them, but like there's only a specific amount of fixing in the draft pod.
I guess. Yeah.
You know? So not everyone gets the perfect mana base able to play Kennen. So like there's more people that have the opportunity to play.
So you just think that after you do the draft for the 99, you should just be able to pick whatever commander you want that just isn't your color pie.
Yeah. Everyone
does that.
Yeah. There should be a cube, a CEDH cube.
And
you can draft. You just pick whatever.
That sounds fun.
I'm never putting this together. This was just a thought experiment and I don't know how happy I am with it.
Silence is good.
Silence is good, but Swords to Plowshares is worse.
Yep.
Swords of Plowshares versus Drannith Magistrate.
Drannith is currently better than Silence. Is that where we're at?
We said Silence was better than Drannith Magistrate. Yeah. So Silence was 3. Drannith Magistrate was 4. Where do we put Swords to Plowshares?
I think I want Swords over Drannith. They both stop my opponents.
I agree with you.
Instant speed is just nice, though.
Yeah, the instant speed is what makes that good. It costs less mana. It
costs less mana. It's instant speed. They do similar things.
Like they stop your opponents from winning, basically.
Yeah, they stop your opponents from winning, basically. Yeah, I think Swords is better.
Swords deals with a card type that is notoriously difficult to deal with, so I just think its utility is really good. I didn't read Path to Exile. I'm going to read Path to Exile right now. This is also white mana. It says, exile target creature. Its controller may search their library for a basic land, put that card onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle. So we can see why this is worse than Swords to Plowshares.
Right, because the basic land, although not all decks play basic lands, and sometimes it'll feel much better than Swords, the one time that it's worse will be catastrophic.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to make me want to play Swords more often, just because I'm personally more of a fan of cards that will never have a downside.
There's so many good cards. Why choose one with a downside?
Right? Yeah. Like, this is why I don't play Forbidden Orchard. Like, why am I giving my opponents resources that they're going to be able to use to beat me?
Your mana's already, like, perfect, basically. Like,
yeah, you have so many good options now.
I kind of agree with that. There's just no reason to... It's just not worth it.
Yeah, no reason to set yourself behind.
I think Path to Exile is, like, a 4 out of 5. I think it's less than Grand Abolisher for me, but I think it's more than Smothering Tithe.
You think it's more than Smothering Tithe?
That's hard. It's close, but I think it's more than Smothering Tithe, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'll give that one to you because you gave me another one.
Yeah.
I'd rather play Smothering Tithe than Path to Exile. I think that in the decks that won Smothering Tithe won it more than they won Path to Exile. I'm really only playing Path to Exile in my 2-color white decks. And when am I playing the 2-color white deck? Probably not often. There's just so many other options I have for on the board removal by the time I add blue and by the time I add black that I never really get around to running Path to Exile. I find myself running other stuff.
I'm not playing it in Atraxa, and I am playing Smothering Tithe in Atraxa, and I'm not playing it in Timnatana, but I am playing Solitude instead. I'm playing Solitude and
Swords.
That's
the next card on the list. Do you want to talk about Solitude?
Yeah, because I currently, from in the right deck, I like Solitude a lot more than Path.
When Solitude can potentially be free, let me read it here. It's 3/2 white for a creature elemental incarnation. It's a 3/2 with flash and lifelink. It says when it enters the battlefield, exile up to one target other creature.
Can't exile itself.
Can't exile itself, yeah. That creature's controller gains life equal to its power. And then it can be evoked by exiling a white card from your hand. So it's a free Swords to Plowshares.
If you're playing enough white spells to make this good, and I don't know exactly what that magic number is, but you should feel it. I guess I should know what that number is. Whatever the number is in my Timnatana list, that's the number.
It's probably a percentage. That's
20% or something.
I would say I would feel comfortable at 20% or something.
But if you're playing enough, the card is bonkers. I really think free is so good. It's just the interaction of instant speed, free removal, and especially in a non-blue deck is super, super relevant, because a lot of times when you're tapped out in non-blue, they're going to think you're out of it, and Solitude just overcomes that. Also, the fact that you can, in the late game, just cast it as a 5-mana creature can be great, and a lot of times in these, like, Timnatana decks, we go into the late game, and playing the Solitude can be something that just is totally fine. If you can do the pitch, if you can exile white spells, I think the card's really good. I like it more than Path.
Yeah, I just think it's harder to find a home for this card because of needing to pitch so many white spells. When we talk about the reasons to play white, like we've talked about silences and Esper Sentinel, like that's why you play white. And so many decks that are also adding 3 or 4 other colors to white just don't have room to play so many of these other white cards that we're talking about. So the percentage just ends up not being there. So the fewer colors you get, the better this gets and the more busted this gets.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree.
So I think that does give this card a downside, though, is kind of what I'm trying to say, though. Because the more you power up your deck, the worse this card gets, and I don't think it's supposed to be that way.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that it definitely helps out the weaker decks more than it helps out the stronger decks.
Which I'm glad there's cards that do that, though. Yeah, I should say that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's good that those cards exist. I still love the card, and I play it a ton when I'm able to, but like I wouldn't play it in Atraxa. It's just not that type of card. If you're playing blue, you're probably blue is like the main colors of the cards that you have. So it's hard to have like 2 main colors. So pitch spells in both colors can be a little tricky sometimes.
And it's tough trying to warrant playing additional copies of onboard removal when you have blue in your deck too.
Right, you have the bounce spells already.
Yeah, which can deal with multiple permanent types.
But if you're not in blue, I think Solitude's great. I think it's probably around the power level of Smothering Tithe, honestly. I give it a 4 out of 5, which is probably higher than most would give it, but...
No, I think I would give it a 4, too, just because its effect is incredible, and the decks that are playing it are, like, maximizing on how good it is. Do you think it's better than Smothering Tithe, or do you think it's worse than Smothering Tithe?
I think Smothering Tithe is better just because Smothering Tithe sees play in better decks, just for that reason. It's a little bit better, but it's very, very close.
I think Smothering Tithe is going to be able to help more decks in the long run, too, just, like... Really, any white deck could benefit from having a Smothering Tithe. It's really just about, like, not having room for Smothering Tithe sometimes, whereas Solitude's like, I have to build my deck a specific way to make it good, so I think I agree.
Yeah, that's why Path to Exile is still, like, probably technically better than Solitude, even though I like Solitude more. The path being you don't have to worry about pitching the white spell, is going to be relevant.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let's move on to another toll... Oh, no. Wow. Late addition to the list, because I totally forgot about this card, Galadriel's Dismissal is kind of on the same theme, too. It's a white mana instant that has kicker of 2 and a white that says target creature phases out. If this spell was kicked, each creature target player controls phases out instead. So this is kind of like these same one mana white removal spells, except it doesn't permanently get rid of things.
I'm going to be honest, I have not played this card yet. I have not cast it yet, so I don't know if I can actually talk about how good it is. It seems great. The cheapness to be able to do this at one mana is fantastic, and being able to do it to all of your opponent's creatures is also going to be huge, but it's a slightly different card than Sword Splasher. It's kind of closer to a bounce spell. I'm not sure, honestly. I haven't played it enough to truly evaluate it, I think.
I don't think I'm ever going to swap out Swords to Plowshares for this card.
Right, yeah.
Just because, like, I know the big upside is, well, now your opponents are still going to be stuck under that stacks piece when they go to their turn. But if I get another turn, now I have 2 stacks pieces that I have to deal with because I wasn't able to permanently get rid of the one. So now, like, I'm stuck in the same pickle I was in before.
It can be good if you get stopped for your win when you get rid of a stacks piece and then the stacks piece comes back afterwards, so it continues stopping your opponents. That is going to feel helpful. How many of this effect do you really want? Like, if you're looking at Swords and Path to Exile and Solitude and what's the channel enchantment?
Oh, that's the next card we're going to talk about.
Yeah, if you're that card that I can't think of the name right now, all those cards I feel like I still pick above this card. I'll probably give it like a 3 for right now, even though the card, I know a lot of people love it, but until I play a little bit more and see it a little bit more, it's going to be a 3 for me.
I don't think that the upside of being able to phase out someone's entire board is enough for me to give this more than a 3. I also think that I'm typically using these one mana removal spells to interact with combo pieces, especially now that there's just less stacks in the format in general. So I think I'd rather just like have a way to permanently remove a combo piece instead of lose to it on my following turn.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's where I'm at with that. The next card, though, is Touch the Spirit Realm.
That's the one.
That's it. So this is 2 and a white for an enchantment that says when it enters the battlefield, exile up to 1 target artifact or creature until it leaves the battlefield. That sucks. But it has channel. That says 1 and a white, you can discard it to exile an artifact or creature and then return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step.
Yeah, the big thing that this one has is channel, obviously. The uncounterability to, in end step, get rid of a stacks piece, definitely, for sure. Go for the win on your turn, and then if you get stopped, the stacks piece comes back. I like it a little bit better on this type of card than Galadriel's Dismissal, just because of the uncounterability. I think it's worth that extra mana. And the fact that it can also get rid of not just creatures, I think is super helpful.
Yeah, you can blink one rings and like reset people back on their one ring counters. You can do this with a Grand Abolisher in play or after a Ranger Captain of Eos trigger as well. So you really catch people with their pants down feeling so secure.
And you also exile, which means it re-enters the battlefield, whereas phasing, it doesn't re-enter the battlefield. So if you get rid of your own Dockside or your own Atraxa or something like that, you can re-get the ETB ability, which can be super nice.
Yeah, and I think that's something that that's a little bit underlooked with cards like this, yeah. too. Like, this is a removal spell that also doubles a Dockside trigger, which is so cool.
Exactly. And the fact that also, if you're playing, like, Savine's Reclamation, you can, like, channel, discard it, and then use Savine's Reclamation to bring it back as its enchantment side and take something else. I like those overlapping synergies that it has with other white cards. We'll probably be talking about Savine's Reclamation soon, but I think this card's great. I think I'd probably give it, like, a 4. I think it's better than Smothering Tithe, honestly.
I think it's going to be more universally better than Smothering Tithe, yes.
And I think I like it more than Path to Exile, too.
All right, I'll give it that, too. Yeah, I can see that. Touch the Spirit Realm going above Path to Exile, but under Grand Abolisher.
Yeah, and I think it's close to Grand Abolisher for sure, but that's where I would put it right now. Just the upside is super high. Channel is just... is so powerful. It's hard to underrate how powerful channel is.
I would still give it a 4 because, like, it's not necessarily going in every white deck. Like, I think if you're playing Ad Nauseam, I start to, like, not want this card. And even though it can be really favorable with a Rule of Law creature in play while you're trying to Ad Nauseam, we're not seeing as many Rule of Law creatures.
Yeah, I agree. The Rule of Laws are going down, but we're seeing more Rhystic Studies and it dodging Mystic Remoras and Rhystic Study and things like that. Super good.
But not being able to interact with a Rhystic Study, Mystic Remora, or an Underworld Breach, I think is also really tough too.
That has gotten me to cut it a couple times, knowing that this can only exile artifacts and creatures and not the enchantments.
Which
that,
is funny because, like, I won't cut Swords to Plowshares because it only deals with creatures, but I won't consider this because it can't deal with enchantments.
Yeah, the 2 mana. At 2 mana, you want your 2 mana interaction to hit anything. So that makes a little bit of sense, but it's still a super powerful card.
The next card we're going to talk about, because you mentioned it, is Savine's Reclamation. This is a very powerful card. This is 2 and a white for a sorcery that says return target permanent card with mana value 3 or less from the graveyard to the battlefield. If this spell was cast from a graveyard, you may copy that spell and you may choose a new target for the copy. And it has flashback of 4 and a white. A couple things I want to say about this card.
Go for it.
You don't have to name the second thing that you want to get off of Savine's Reclamation when you flash it back until the copy of it is resolving.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a heads up to folks out there.
Big reason why this card's so good in CDH is intuition. With intuition, you can get this Lion's Eye Diamond and Underworld Breach, and no matter what, you can get that Underworld Breach back into play because either they give you the breach and you cast it, or you use Savine's Reclamation to flash back the Underworld Breach, and then from there, you can use your intuition to find the Brain Freeze and do the rest of your line. I don't know if this is really true, but it's one of the big reasons why Blue Farm is so powerful. Giving Blue Farm this intuition line where you can win just off of a 3 mana spell, more or less, and you don't have to play any mana for it. So once you've gotten low on life and Ad Nauseam gets worse, this, like, kind of ties that whole deck together. Realistically, if Grixis could just play Savine's Reclamation, I don't know, like, that you would really want to even play white, even though obviously all these white cards that we're talking about are so fucking good. But it's a very powerful card in the most powerful deck in the format. So it's a pretty high 5 for me.
And even, like, its floor is getting your Mystic Remora back for 3 mana, which is still really good. Like, I would do that. Getting your, like, anything that has been sent to the graveyard, you can mill yourself and, like, bring your own shit back if you need to. And all the stuff I'm talking about is, like, way on the floor, but
it's great when you can just turbo Brain Freeze. And if you get rid of the Underworld Breach, you still have the Savine's Reclamation either in your graveyard because you milled it or in your hand or whatever. And no matter what, you can get that Brain Freeze back. It's super great for that. It allows Jeskai commanders to be good, I think, because of this one singular card.
I agree. They don't really have any good win conditions outside of, like, being an infinite mana outlet, I would say, in Jeskai.
Or just, like, the intuition line. Like, this is the best line. Your intuition line for your Underworld Breach is super great. But I rate it very high. I think it's probably better than Esper Sentinel, but it's close to Ranger Captain. They do kind of different things.
They do very different things. Savine's Reclamation, oh, man, that's tough because you said that it's way up there, and I feel like you're right, but I didn't expect it to be way up there. I knew it would be better than Swords to Plowshares, and it does make that whole thing work.
It makes the best deck in the format. It's like the final glue to make it really,
so,
like,
really home. Yeah, damn,
it's in the triangle of Ranger Captain, Esper Sentinel. I think
the problem is you never want to see it in your hand, though.
Yeah, that's true. You don't always want to see it in your hand. It can still be fine in your hand, but yeah, it's not great in your hand.
It's,
I'll give
not
you that.
Really great.
It's just a combo piece, more or less.
Wow. Okay, it's better than Silence. We think it's better than Silence.
I think it's better than Silence. Yeah.
And all right, so then Esper Sentinel versus Esper Sentinel. We
think it's better than Esper Sentinel. Although I want to see Esper in the early game, I would much rather see Savine's Reclamation in the late game. I think it's worse than Ranger Captain still,
It's definitely worse than Ranger Captain, but Ranger it's better than Esper Sentinel?
I think it's better than Esper Sentinel. I think it's our number two white card so far.
Yeah, all right. That sounds good to me.
Ranger Captain goes both ways. This one is really, it just goes your way. So I think it's still just under Ranger Captain, but it's a powerful one. Doesn't go in every white deck. Esper does. I don't know. Maybe I take my thing back.
I guess that's true, but
the ceiling of it is just too good. I keep what I said. In Blue Farm, it's too powerful.
We've decided. Yeah, it's in there. It's in the books, and we wrote it in pen.
Locked it in.
Yeah, so we can't erase it. All right, the next card is Archon of Emyria. This is 2 and a white for a 2/3 creature Archon with flying. Each player can't cast more than one spell each turn. Non-basic lands your opponents control. Enter the battlefield tapped.
This card's great. It was much better a while ago and much less good now. Now that Stax has gotten a little bit worse, this is probably the last remaining powerful, super strong, very good Stax piece. It doesn't help you. It doesn't push you ahead. I'm leaning more away from those cards. In the Stax deck, this is your first Stax piece, I'm pretty sure. This is the best one with Dranith Magistrate.
Yeah, but that's why I put this one on the list, because it was definitely the best out of all the Rule of Law creatures and one of the best Stax creatures you can just have in general.
I agree. But the fact that, like I said, it doesn't help you, it's kind of a stinker. It being flying for Timna is super nice. It being evasive for Winota is super great. It's just not where I want to be in white right now.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think I'm going to give this card a 4 still, just because of how powerful it is. Maybe it's a 3.5, though, in the meta right now, so maybe that makes me want to put it lower. But I feel like there's a lot of decks that I would play this in before I would put Solitude in the deck. That's a tough thing for me to say now, because now that I say that, I'm realizing that a lot of the Solitude decks have overlap with the Archon of Emyria decks.
It's going to be the same decks.
So yeah, maybe it is still a 4.
It's tricky. I think it's a 3.5, and only because I am kind of removing Archon for Solitude type things. In Blood Pot, I just took Archon of Emyria out, actually, which is kind of incredible because it's so fucking powerful. It was like my last real Stax piece. Whereas Blood Pot is now, for me, much more of just like a creature-centric combo value deck and much less of a Stax deck. There are no basically more Stax pieces. Like, there's Dauntless Dismantler, but that's also removal. There's Manglehorn, but that's also removal. There's like things like that, but everything either serves me or does two purposes, and one of them is stopping my opponents from winning, and the other one is helping me win somehow. It's a powerful card, but in recent months, it's ticked way down for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, I'm fine giving that a 3.5, putting that like way down towards the bottom of our list right now.
Below,
I think that's
Smothering
where that
Tithe
goes. Yeah, below Solitude and just above Galadriel's thing.
Yeah, still above Galadriel's thing.
Let's talk about Dauntless Dismantler, because you just brought it up. It's really hard to say this is one of the best white cards in all of Magic's history because it is so new, but I think because of what it does, it can really cement itself as being more powerful than a lot of the other spells that we're talking about in the format right now.
Yeah, for what it does in the metagame of CDH, I think it's super strong. It's slowing down Dockside Extortionists and really just like stopping that win. The whole Dockside loop can no longer happen. Slowing down mana. The main reason why I love this one so much, you said what it does, right?
No, I should read it. Holy shit.
Oh yeah, let's say what it does.
It's 1 and a white for a 1/4 human artificer. It says artifacts your opponent's control enter the battlefield tapped, and for XX and white, you can sacrifice it to destroy each artifact with mana value X.
So the things that this does is, number one, it stops your opponents from getting ahead super early on. It slows them down in the beginning of the game just from advancing their own game plan. It stops them from the Mana Crypt early, the Soul Ring early, shuts off Mana Vault and Grim Monolith and things like that. It also stops win conditions. All the Dockside loops can't happen and all that shit doesn't work. It also acts as removal. So if your opponents are trying to do something, you can get rid of specific artifacts. Now, it's kind of expensive removal. It doesn't do it the best, but it really just shuts off treasures in a bunch of ways. So, and then not only that, it makes your Dockside Extortionist really good because your opponents can't sacrifice their fresh treasures, because at some point they're going to want to go, well, I'll just get the treasures in and then I'll untap and use them next turn. And now they can't sacrifice them. So it can help you in that way too.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Right? Like, the 4 toughness is huge because it helps for Timna, allows you to get in a little easier. It's really where I want my Stax pieces going forward, where they stop a little stuff at all points of the game, the early game and the win condition, and then they also act as removal where I can get rid of shit too. That's what I'm looking for. I want to be more interactive with these non-blue decks, so I like this card a lot recently.
Yeah, stacks cards that only have one line of text are no longer cards that you can play. Yeah. They need to be able to do so many different things on so many different axes. I love that this has the exact stacks creature body that you want to. It gets around Lightning Bolt, which I think is incredible. Like, it gets around a Braid, so like you have to rely on other removal if you want to deal with it. It's not afraid of Orcish Bowmaster at all, so love to see Dalton's Dismantler. I think it's a four, just because of what it does.
Four. Yeah,
just because of what it does in the format. I think it's better than Path to Exile and Smothering Tithe. I think it's better than Touch the Spirit Realm.
Yeah, so it's close to touch, though.
I think it's close to touch, but I think it's going to be the best four on our list.
I think so. What's the one right above it?
Grand Abolisher, which is a 4.5.
And I still agree with that. I still think Grand Abolisher is better.
I agree.
Just in more decks.
It helps you win the game instead of just stopping your opponents from winning the game, which we've decided is better.
Yes. Although, like I said, with Dauntless, it makes your dock sides huge sometimes.
That's true. And it can help you win the game. But like Grand Abolisher can help you win the game in more ways. It's better to sneak in with like creature tutors, although this is a great thing to get off of, like creature tutors too.
And the fact that this one can get rid of things like Grafdigger's Cage at like a kind of efficient mana.
Yeah, you know, in your Blood Pod deck specifically.
That's helpful. Like being able to get rid of specific stacks pieces, that's helpful to have.
Yeah, let's give that a four. Put that right underneath Grand Abolisher. We have two more cards to talk about, and let's start with Enlightened Tutor. How do we go this long and not talk about Enlightened Tutor?
This is the staple of staples. What's Enlightened Tutor do?
This is a white mana instant that says, search your library for an artifact or enchantment card, reveal it, and then put it on top of your library.
Is this one actually just the best one card in CH? This goes in every white deck no matter what.
It definitely does. I mean, just... this is a turn two mana crypt card.
The fact that it can just be a mana crypt or a Rhystic Study or an Underworld Breach or all the good artifacts and enchantments in our format, very versatile.
This is actually part of a combo you don't really see too much anymore because Spellseeker's not really played so much anymore. But if you cast Spellseeker and go get Ephemerate, you can Ephemerate the Spellseeker to go get Final Fortune. And then on your Final Fortune turn, your Ephemerate comes back from rebound on your upkeep. Ephemerate the Spellseeker, have it go get the Enlightened Tutor. You can Enlightened Tutor for Underworld Breach then, and that way you can set yourself up so that you can Ephemerate from your graveyard and go get Brain Freeze and just take it from there.
I mean, it's a very powerful card. It's definitely better than Silence, I would say for sure.
Yeah, definitely better than Silence. Where is it versus Esper Sentinel? It can be Esper Sentinel if you want it to be.
It's better than Esper Sentinel.
It can also be Rhystic Study, though, and it can also be Mystic Remora. So I think it's better than Esper Sentinel.
It's definitely better than Savine's Reclamation also.
I think it's worse than Ranger Captain of Eos, though.
It's close. It's a 5 out of 5 for sure. I'm trying to think if there is a Ranger Captain deck that I won't... like, if there's a white deck that I wouldn't play Ranger Captain of Eos.
So Ranger Captain is also an Enlightened Tutor, because you get to tutor Esper Sentinel, but it goes to hand instead of your top deck. Like, there is the downside where Enlightened Tutor's not card advantage. Like, it is card disadvantage, as a matter of fact. There are cards that can negatively interact with Enlightened Tutor as well. Not just Opposition Agent, but even, like, Grinding Station that sees play in a lot of decks.
Yeah, Ranger Captain actually can't get blown up by Oppo because you can just choose not to search.
So it's still a silence on a creature, right? It's still a 3-3 silence on a creature.
Yeah, maybe it is. It sounds really bad to say it's worse and Ranger Captain of Eos, but I think Ranger Captain is just actually that good. Now, realistically, they're close. They're both 5 out of 5.
They're both going in every
white deck, but in the draft, if I get to pick one or the other, I think I would pick Ranger Captain first.
So it depends on where I'm at in the draft. If I don't have Mana Crypt in my draft pool yet, then I don't want Enlightened Tutor. Like, I would only want Enlightened Tutor if I have a good thing to get.
You have to make sure you have the targets for it. Ranger Captain doesn't need any targets. It can just be fine on its own.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. It's the second best.
And then our last card that we're going to be talking about is Archivist of Agma.
Oh, yeah.
This is 1 and a white for a creature halfling cleric. It's a 2/2 with flash, and whenever an opponent searches their library, gain a life and draw a card.
This card's neat. It does what white wants it to do. It's a little white creature that can draw some cards. The life gain's kind of irrelevant, but the card draw is really nice. It's not the best card draw engine. It's only going to draw you a couple cards, but if this can draw you 5 cards in a game, it's going to be more than good enough.
A two-mana card draw engine at instant speed, I think, is really powerful. But I think you're right. It kind of needs to draw you 4 to 5 cards to feel really good. That kind of makes me really want it on turn one most of the time, and it gets much worse in the late game. And the problem is the actions that people are taking when you're drawing a card are like way drastic and really progressing them towards finishing the game.
It's better than some of the cards we talked about, but not all of them. I'd probably give it somewhere around 3.5. What's our lowest 3.5?
We have one. It's Archon of Emyria. It's definitely better than Archon of Emyria.
You think? Yeah.
I think drawing cards is better than Rule of Lawing the table.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Even with slight upside on the Rule of Law.
What's next?
Solitude at 4. See, I think more decks are going to play Archivist of Vagmo because you don't have to build your deck around it.
If Solitude's a 4, this is probably also a 4.
Yeah, I think so too. Smothering Tithe.
It's close to Smothering Tithe.
I think we're getting pretty close here because Path to Exile and Touch the Spirit Realm are next on the list. It's definitely worse than Dauntless Dismantler, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. But I still think it's... I think it's worse than Smothering Tithe. The ceiling on Smothering Tithe is just too high.
So it's worse than Path to Exile and Touch the Spirit Realm?
Yep.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think it's a 4 and it's just under Smothering Tithe.
I think the main problem with Archivist of Vagmo is that it's relying on your opponents to take actions for you to draw cards.
Yeah.
And it's not actions like casting a spell.
Right. It's an action that happens less often, and when it does, the game is near over and the card won't matter anymore.
Cool. Well, that's every card that I had here.
I got one honorable mention.
Okay.
And only because it's brand new and you probably shouldn't have on your list, but Trouble in Pairs is, I think, a new white enchantment that the double white pip stinks a little bit, and it's taken a similar slot that maybe a Smothering Tithe would take, but the main reason I don't really want to give it a rating is I haven't played it enough yet, but I've seen a lot of chatter and the ceiling seems quite high on this one.
The ceiling does seem very high, but I've yet to see it in play or do anything. So that's why I didn't put it on the list.
I don't want to rate it yet. I just want to bring it up just because it is a strong white card, and maybe in a year, my opinion will be much different on it. But for right now, I'm just not sure yet.
I didn't have Galadriel's Thing on our original list, but we were talking about one mana removal spells. So I wanted to put Galadriel's Thing on the list, but I guess that's a good reason to put Trouble in Paris in on the list too.
It's probably going to end up somewhere around a 3.5.
Probably
I don't think it'll be higher
too,
than there.
Which means it's not going to be in our top 10, so fuck it.
Should we talk about our top 10?
Yeah, do you want to hear them one at a time?
I'd love to. From number 10
from
or
number
one?
10.
Yeah, go.
Our number 10 white card in CEDH is Touch the Spirit Realm.
I love that decision. Great decision by us. Good job, us.
We're doing awesome. All right, number 9 is Dauntless Dismantler.
Sure, yeah, I agree with that. Yep.
Okay, great. Great, all on the same page so far. Number 8 is Grand Abolisher. Doing good. All right. Number 7 is Drannith Magistrate. Number 6 is Swords to Plowshares. Number 5 is Silence. Number 4 is Esper Sentinel. I know, I'm surprised that card is so low.
Is it really worse than Speed Reclamation? I don't know.
Reclamation.
Maybe he's worse than it's hard. I don't know.
They're interchangeable. You can swap 3 and 4 around if you want, but this is what we said.
Twenty minutes ago.
Yeah. All right. Number 2 is Enlightened Tutor.
Kind of surprising.
Realistically, think about it. It's Mana Crypt all the time. That card's really good. All right, and number 1 is Ranger Captain of Eos.
Ranger Captain's a really good card.
That's fucking obvious. We knew that from the start.
Thanks so much for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Cajole Alex, Sean in the Ice, Mark Cirillo, She Doesn't Even Go Here, SoCal Acura, Stormageddon, Luke Cook, AJ Wasabi, Demon of Rosgrease, Peter Stewart, Uncle Butts, Kawaja A. Hamid, Lauren Connell, and Baby G-Bus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Big thank you to Dragon Shield for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 at the affiliate link down below to help support the show.
Follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram for more content.
Thank you so much for watching.
Or listening.
See you next time. The $50 patrons are Nicholas Balder, Raid Active, with 3s instead of E's. Tyler Watson, Brian Barrington, Zachary Colson, Tyler H, X Tyler the Tree X, Malcraft, Driving Crooner, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Hobo Ghost, Mitchell Shepard, Justin, Man Solo, Pedro, Jacob Depp, Michael Ballou, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
This podcast,
we have. So don't be surprised if you see, wow, I'm already doing terrible.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.